Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
I wanted to share with you that at the end of service, Pastor Ken's just going to play a little bit of worship music, but this is why. Let me share with you why, okay? There was a song written that we used to sing as children in church, okay? And it's the title of the song is called Reach Out and Touch the Lord as He Passes By. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart cry. He's passing by this moment. Your need He'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. But this song, I found out not long ago, was written about the subject matter we're going to talk about tonight, which is it was written about the woman at the well, but the man we're also going to talk about tonight that was formerly called Blind Bartimaeus. So we're continuing on with the miracles of Christ. So I think you're going to hear some things tonight that will really bless you. It's a great supernatural miracle of Christ, and I want to tell you to begin with that there are people who will claim to be believers of God. They claim to believe in God, but they don't believe in miracles. And those two do not match, by the way. What they mean is, I don't believe that God is good, and I don't believe that God is powerful, right? If I say I don't believe in miracles, I don't believe in a good God, and I don't believe in a powerful God. In fact, I do not believe that you can truly believe in God and not believe in miracles. Then who is He? And why would we pray for anything if we don't believe in miracles? Why would we pray for anything to happen that God could do? So churches and individuals that do not believe in miracles and do not contend for miracles and do not speak of them and do not study God's word, they are not going to receive miracles. And then they're going to say, well, we don't believe in miracles because we don't see any miracles. You don't see any miracles because you don't believe in miracles. That's the problem. That's how that works. But they're not thinking about that because the enemy has them blind. So tonight we're going to talk about, and there are several kinds of blindness, of course. There is a physical blindness and there is a spiritual blindness. This miracle is actually found in three Gospels. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are the Synoptic Gospels. And I told you that the Synoptic Gospels, you hear people say that a lot, these are the Synoptic Gospels, like it's something holy. Synoptic means similar Gospels. These are the similar Gospels, and John is a bit different. And so this is found in three of the Synoptic Gospels. And anytime you find something in two or more Gospels, you need to read all of the accounts of it. And I want to say something. For example, let's start with this. Luke doesn't tell us who the blind man is. He tells us that there was a certain man who was a beggar by the side of the road. And a certain man means a known man or a notable man. So we're told that it's a certain man in Luke. But Mark enhances this story by continuing and telling us, the account in Mark tells us that he is Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus. So this gives us some further insight. The name of the man is not important. By the way, let me tell you something about the word Timaeus. First of all, Bar means son of Timaeus. And the word Timaeus actually means honorable and important and perfect. So sometimes it doesn't matter what our name is, but it matters who we are. It matters whose we are. So it doesn't matter really who I am or what my name is. What matters is who I belong to, and that's God. I belong to God. So you know what? When you introduce me, you don't have to use my name. You can say daughter of God, son of God. You're just like Bartimaeus. He was son. So it would be like saying that girl who is Pastor Ken's daughter. It matters. This is a certain man's daughter. And so Matthew adds further detail. So when we see things in two or three different Gospels and you find that there's different information, none of it contradicts. In fact, some of it enhances what you've already heard. You heard that it was a certain man, a notable man, that's a well-known man that people in the area knew, and now you know that this is this man's son. Timaeus is his name. And so we know the name of his father. He's the son of Timaeus, an honorable man. So lots of people knew this man. So Another difference is that in Luke, we're actually told something we're not told in the other two Gospels, that after the blind man received his sight, all the people who saw it glorified God and gave praise to God. So I think this is very interesting because we're going to see tonight blind Bartimaeus, that was what they called him, which I think is, you know, not really cool to be. I'm going to explain that. But on that day, it's my belief that more than one person received their sight, because when they saw the miracle, their eyes were opened and they decided to follow Jesus Christ. So it wasn't just blind Bartimaeus who had an eye opening that night. It was all of them. And so I think this is great because they saw the miracle. And I'm going to read Mark 10:46. And they came to Jericho, Jesus, the disciples, and a crowd of followers. And as he went out of Jericho, so they're in Jericho, now they're leaving Jericho. Okay, they're on their way out of Jericho. And they're actually, let me tell you where they're heading. They're heading to Jerusalem because this is where the triumphal entry is going to take place. And so they're on their way into Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus, by the way, who was a blind beggar at one time, finds himself eventually in this crowd now, because he can see and he can go. You can't go a lot of places when you're blind, can you? And he finds himself in the triumphal entry and with a bunch of other people who saw a miracle. And I think that's really, really cool. Another thing that we need to know, when we see blind Bartimaeus begging by the side of the road, Jesus had just had a conversation where his disciples are like, who's going to sit here and who's going to do this? And then here it is. We have this blind man. What about him sitting over here? You guys are so worried about where you're going to sit and what's going to happen to you. What about this guy sitting over here by the... Jesus starts turning his attention towards someone who really needs help and really wants help. And so I think that's cool. And so they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, who's the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. This is significant. He's not walking down the road. He can't see where he's going, so he's not really going anywhere. When we're spiritually blind, we're not going anywhere. Not really. We're just sitting. And let me tell you, and the same thing is physically. And so I want to say something about the fact that he is called blind Bartimaeus. And I actually titled this message, The Story of I Once Was Blind Bartimaeus, But Now I See. And so I would like to ask you a question tonight, all of us a question. How would you like to be identified or known by your affliction or your weakness? How would you like someone to call you? Blind Bartimaeus, ugly so-and-so, hateful so-and-so. How would you like to be known by sickly so-and-so? I don't want to be called by my affliction. I don't want that to be my identity. You should never want your weaknesses, your afflictions, and you should never assign that to somebody else, labels, like we label children. Don't call them the child that's retarded. Let's rename that. Say, the child who is special and created in God's image in his eyes. And so we don't want to be identified by our afflictions, because I'm not who the world says I am, and I'm not my affliction. I am a child of the King. And so don't let the world or the enemy steal your identity. You're not your past either. You're not your past when someone says, you know, it's interesting because so many times people identify other people about who they used to be. Oh, that's that girl that was the prostitute. She used to be a prostitute. That's this guy. Didn't he used to be in prison? Let's stop that. Let's stop that. Let's call it out who they're supposed to be in Jesus Christ. So they came to Jericho. They're now leaving. And when he, Bartimaeus, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. This is a gut-level cry where he's crying out in desperation. But the cry is not, it's not a normal cry that you would think. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, which means Jesus, the Messiah. I recognize you as the son of David, the Messiah. You are the Messiah. And so here's the thing. Let me tell you this. He heard. Did you notice that he heard? He was blind, but he still had ears. And I want to say something about that. Sometimes we're so focused on what we don't have that we forget what we do have. We forget to be thankful for what we do have. Because let me tell you something. He may not have had his sight, but do not underestimate his hearing, because the Bible says, it does not say faith comes by sight, does it? It says faith comes by hearing. And he heard that Jesus was in the house. He heard that Jesus was nearby. And so he began to cry out for mercy. He began to cry out to him. And so it was so interesting that, you know, he was never again after this day going to be called blind Bartimaeus. I love that, that he would never be called that again. But as he began to cry out the desperate cry, I noticed something about that cry. Not one time did it say he cried out for money or for a doctor. You must remember he was sitting by the side of the road begging. That was his position in life. He was begging, and he was begging for resources and money. But that's not what he was asking about. When we get to the, at some point, we need to get to the place where we realize that money is not the answer to life's problems. And let me tell you something I told a man a long time ago. I said, first of all, sir, money's not your problem. And secondly, may I submit to you that money is not your answer. I'm not saying we don't need money and it's not useful. It's God's and it's useful. And, you know, it's his, so you release it. But he did not cry out for money. He cried out for Jesus. And that's the same cry that we should have. Whatever our need is or whatever we think our need is, we should cry out to Jesus, for Jesus. And he was acknowledging him as the promised one, because isn't it interesting that one of the promises of God is healing, but that Jesus is the promise. So when you cry out to Jesus, you actually are crying out for healing or deliverance or salvation, because he is the promise. So you don't need to think that I prayed wrong or I got it wrong when I cried out for Jesus. No, you didn't. And if I must cry and life gets hard, let it be to Jesus. And the word for salvation, he was crying out for mercy, which means salvation. And the word for both of these is sozos, for healing and salvation is sozos, which is, that's the atonement, that's Jesus, that's healing. But here's the thing that happened when he started crying out. Have you ever cried out for help? Like, say you were on the ground outside, and you're outside these windows, and you're crying out for help, but there's a problem because people are saying, shh, quiet, be quiet, shut up, shut up. What's that all about? You know what? That's easy for you to try to silence somebody, and the enemy will try to silence us. But isn't it easy to try to silence somebody when it's not your problem? When you have your sight already, and when you can hear, and when you're not a beggar, and when you got money in the bank, and you've got people that care about you, isn't it easy to tell somebody else, just be quiet. Be quiet. We've heard enough of you. Never do that to somebody. Let them cry out, because they're crying out to God and they need the mercy of God. But it's so easy. I'm glad he didn't let that stop him. I'm glad he didn't let them silence him, because Jesus responded, just like the woman with the issue of blood. When we're desperate to get to Jesus, he always responds. Verse 49 says, and Jesus stood still, which that means he stopped. When this man started crying out, Jesus stopped and focused on this man, and he gave him his full attention. And he commanded that he be called. Now, there's something interesting about that right there. When you call on Jesus, Jesus will turn right back and he goes, come on, I'm calling you now. He'll call you to himself. Once you cry out to Jesus, he's going to call you too. And he said, get the blind man. And so this is kind of funny. I'm going to tell you something funny here. And so they who were standing around, who had just been telling him, be quiet, shh, quiet, that tried to silence him, when Jesus said, go call him, all of a sudden they're on the right side. They switch over and they said, be of good comfort. Rise up. He's calling for you. Like, all of a sudden it switches. Come on. Come on, guys. You know, you can't just go with the wind. But I love that. I thought that was kind of cool. And the people who were rebuking him, now they're trying to comfort him. You know, you can't count on people, can you? They just change so quickly. But you can count on Jesus. And he, blind Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose up and came to Jesus. I want to stop and tell you something I had not seen. Let me tell you this, and we're going to talk about this. In those days, everyone wore special coats that signified your importance or your lack of importance. The poor people's coat, the beggar's coat. He had a beggar's coat. Like, remember Joseph had this wonderful coat and stuff, the garments. Remember the prodigal son? They put a robe on him, the fancy robe that the father, that meant position and inheritance. Kings had royal robes, and people had special robes. But a beggar had a certain type of garment that he spread out on the ground so that people could put alms in. If you didn't have the garment, the certain beggar's garment, you were not, it was like a permit, you were not allowed to beg. You had to have a certain beggar's garment. You know, that signified that someone had pronounced you blind or disability. This was their disability program. So you had to have this blanket, and that's where you put the alms in. And so here's blind Bartimaeus, and when Jesus called him, he stood up, he rose up, and he threw the garment away. Now, I want to tell you something. He had not been healed yet. Why did you throw away your beggar's garment? Aren't you going to need that, sir? That's the tool of the trade. That's your permit to beg. Why did you throw it away? Honey, that's called faith. That's called faith. I have encountered the master. I'm not going to need this anymore. I'm not going to need this. I am now taking these crutches because the master has called my name, and I am throwing these crutches away. I did this with medication, and believe me when I say do not throw your medication away unless this happens to you. I had medication many, many years ago, and I was sick, and they said you're going to always be on the medication. But the medication wasn't working. If anything, I was worse. So I came to a point where that was, I decided to start receiving communion at home to receive my healing, that would be my medication. And I did throw away the other medication by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. There's many, I only take one medication, which our insurance agent is shocked at. And you know what? I am not throwing it away. Let me tell you something. We have to have wisdom, but we also have to know when it's time to take a step of faith. And usually that step of faith is right up here to the altar. Usually that step of faith is right in the presence of God saying, I'm calling on you, God. I'm pressing into you. And so they wore these certain kind of coats. They had a thing, but he threw away his coat. And I love that he threw it away before Jesus healed him, because it's easy to take a step of faith after Jesus heals you, but it's harder to say, I believe this right now. And he had such faith that he would not need that anymore, that I'm done with this. I'm done with this way of life. And the word for rise up is the same word for resurrected. He was resurrected, because basically when you're that disabled, your quality of life is not good. Not good, but he was resurrected. And the Bible says, if that same spirit that lives in Christ dwells in me, he will quicken my mortal body. And my mortal body is my physical body. Not just it's going to be a spiritual thing. He can heal us physically. Our mortal body is the body that we wear here on this earth, this tent. And God can raise up dead people even today. He can restore the blind even today. And he can make the deaf to hear and the lame to walk today in 2023. And so in faith, he got rid of the garment. And I love the scripture that says he'll give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the oil of joy, and spirit over the spirit of mourning. Can you imagine the grief that left him? Can you imagine the joy that instantly entered into him on the day that he received his sight? And 51 says, and Jesus answered and said to him, blind Bartimaeus, what will that I should do for you? Kind of a strange question, isn't it? Not really, because different people want different things. Sometimes even when I'm sick, you know, I might be asking for something. Well, maybe I could want money. Maybe I want this. Maybe I need something, maybe something more than that. But he knew, and Jesus knew what he was going to say. And he said, but he loves Jesus. Let me say it like this. Jesus invites us to ask him. He invites us to ask him. He loves to be asked. You know, you can give your children all kinds of gifts, can't you? And don't you love, though, when they come to you and recognize you as, I recognize you, I honor you, that this is yours to give, and I'm asking you for it. I'm not just grabbing it, taking it, I'm asking you. And so he invited him to ask, and he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And you know, we do know that there were two men there and that both of the men were healed. But here's the thing. There's the story of just one, because Jesus deals with us as individuals. Each of us is an individual. And verse 52 says, and Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And instantly and immediately, both those words are interchangeably, he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. What this translates is he continually followed Jesus. So when he made a decision to follow Jesus, he was going to follow him in the way, all the way, for the rest of his life. And did you notice what Jesus said to him when Jesus did not say, "Follow me, Bartimaeus." Jesus, after he healed him, said something very significant that you might didn't catch. He said, "Go your way." Let me tell you what that means. You can go anywhere you want. You can go back home. You can go anywhere now that you can see. You can do your own thing. Go your own way. But he decided, I ain't going my own way. I'm going Yahweh. I'm going Yahweh. I'm going to follow Jesus. And so he's giving the man a choice. If you remember, and we shared this about the book of Ruth, when Naomi told Ruth and Orpah 4 times, go back. You can go back to your gods. She made it so clear. There are some false gods back there that you used to worship. If you want to go back and worship them, that's your choice. I'm not telling you what to do. She said 4 times she urged them to return. She's giving them a choice. And one of them returned. You can't just say it. You have to have a determination to serve God and to go all the way with Jesus. No turning back. Just like the song says, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I've decided to follow Jesus. And we all get that choice. And so Bartimaeus did not go his own way. Nope, not happening. He decided, I'm going to follow Jesus. And I love that Jesus acknowledged that it was the man's faith that made the difference. Jesus healed him. Make no mistake. Jesus is the only healer we will ever have. But our faith activates the healing that's available to us. That activates, just like our obedience in doing what God tells us to do, no matter what that is, love thy neighbor, forgive, tithe, assemble together. Our obedience activates things that are already available to us. Because all of these things are available to any who will receive Jesus. All of them. Anyone on this earth can say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I repent of my sins. I believe in the cross. I believe he died, gave his life for me. He shed his blood. He was resurrected on the 3rd day. He's seated at the Father's right hand, making intercession for me. And I've decided to follow Jesus, and I'm going to obey him. And you can activate any of the promises of God and the blessings of God. And that's what we need to do, take a step of faith. Faith and obedience are key to a lot of things that we underestimate. Why didn't this happen in my life? Why didn't I receive this? Faith or obedience? You need to check your levels of faith and your level of obedience if you're not receiving what you believe is provided in God's word. So I love that Jesus acknowledged that the man's faith actually made a difference, that he had faith in the Messiah, because here's the thing, and I love this because I kind of put this together. Blessed are those, remember what Jesus said about, to Thomas said, blessed are those who believe but see not. This man could not see, but he still believed, because faith comes by hearing. So he still believed even though he could not see it. Now that applies to you and I. Even though we can't see the answer to this problem that we're facing in our world right now, it doesn't mean that we can't have faith to believe that Jesus is going to fix it. He's going to work it out, because I do have faith. I believe that he's who he says he is. I believe he's a big God. I believe he's a powerful God. I believe he's a loving God. I believe he's a good God. And I believe he's a miracle-working God. And that's just about all we need to know. Is that our God is good, he is faithful. Even when we are not faithful, how many of you have seen God be faithful in your life when you were not faithful? How many of you have had mercy when you did not deserve mercy and grace, when you clearly didn't? How many of you have been forgiven when you were guilty? And he forgave anyway, because he took the punishment. So it's not always me. It's Jesus. We have to, he shows us such grace, mercy, but I want to believe it before I can see it. And I want to be able to get rid of that garment and say, I'm not going to be needing this anymore because Jesus is my healer, because I've had an encounter with God. And I want to say something about that. If you ever have a true encounter with God, I mean an altar, old time, Pentecostal, come to the altar, encounter God, you are not the same person. My life, what has never been the same since I was laying on the floor over there, speaking in tongues and laying on the floor and just the joy of the Lord. Never, ever, ever has it been the same, because it's an encounter with the living God, the power of God. You don't forget something like that. And you shouldn't forget someone when they save your life. If you're in a burning building and someone steps in there and drags you out of the building, you need to remember that that person saved your life and get to know them a little better and send them some cards and some appreciation for that. That's Jesus. He's done so much and we don't always appreciate him. And, you know, I shared a story yesterday that was so powerful to me about how we need to love him and thank him and acknowledge his goodness in the very worst of situations. And what I shared was the story of the man. It's a recent story that there was a man whose nine-year-old daughter, some of you heard this yesterday, the man whose nine-year-old daughter was kidnapped by Hamas. His name was Hans. His nine-year-old daughter was kidnapped by Hamas, and they had her, were holding her, and he heard through some people that she had been in the bombs, and she was killed. They had identified her. She was killed in one of the kibbutz where she had lived. And the man dropped to his knees, and he thanked God, and he praised God, and he rejoiced and said, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, God, that he is, that she is gone, that she is in heaven. Thank you, God, thank you, God. And people were questioning him, and he said, do you know what Hamas does to people, that they torture them, they take their arms off, their legs off, they burn them alive, they brand them, they do things. He said, I praise God who is good, who is worthy to be praised. And if we could get to that point in a very bad situation in our life to where we would be willing to say, I don't see it all and it hurts right now. That man was hurting. But in his pain, like Job, he dropped to the ground and he began to praise God and honor God. If in my pain I do that, I have just got God's attention. Like, wow, because a lot of people won't do that. They'll do what Pastor Ken says in the airplane when it's going down and you hear the black boxes. They will curse God. They will, who may, that's inside them. Whatever's inside me, when hard times come, that's what's going to pour out of me. So I need to make sure that what's inside of me is good. So, and is the goodness of God and the praise of God. Let his praise ever be on my lips, and get rid of that garment, that beggar's garment, and get that garment of praise going out. And even if you have to cry out in desperation. A couple of things about Bartimaeus. He couldn't see, but he had ears to hear. And he had something else besides. He couldn't see, and he had ears, but he had one more thing. He had a voice. Use your voice. Use your voice. I think the church needs to shout more. You know, I used to think this was embarrassing. This is humiliating. What are we shouting kind of church? But what if people come in here and we're like, hallelujah. I don't care. I don't care, because you can shout and get God's attention. And a shout of praise reaches all the way to heaven, all the way to heaven. So he had a voice. He had ears and he had a voice. And it's interesting that the people who wanted to stop him crying had their sight. They didn't have a great need at the moment, but you never, never, never try to silence somebody, because you might be that person someday. You might be the person who has to cry out that desperate cry. So don't stop somebody from crying. Come alongside them and have some compassion. And I love that Jesus gave him the opportunity. I love that Jesus responded. I love that he was quick to respond. Do you know that Jesus will respond to you very speedily? He will. And courtesy of Bartimaeus, remember the lepers that only one returned? I just think it's so cool when you see somebody who appreciates what God has done in their life. I think it's so cool when you see people who just say, God has been so good to me. And sometimes there's someone with cancer, or there's someone who is really going through something, and they're like, God's just been so good to me. That causes you to just almost shake your head and go, wow, wow, wow. And so they all followed Jesus, and a whole bunch of other people followed Jesus. And But here's something I've always thought of too, and it's just a reminder for us. Sometimes when people have a handicap or something in their life, other people seem to think, and this has happened to my nephew who struggles with his hearing, with deafness. Sometimes people look at you and they think you're not intelligent because you have one problem. Sometimes you grow even more keen to things and more insightful into things when you have something in your life. He had faith. He had vision. He did not have sight. But let me tell you something he did have. He had a vision for what Jesus could do for him. And he knew that he wasn't going to need that beggar's garment anymore. And I just thank God. I thank God. You know, something that came to me, Pastor Ken, you can come and play and begin to play. We're going to spend a little bit of time in worship, because he is worthy, and because we've cried out to him many times, and he's heard us, right? And he's answered us, and I believe that he is near, and I believe that he is passing by, and I do believe that anything we need, he will hear, like this song says, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he is not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by right this moment. Your needs he will supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. I am so thankful. This song was written many, many years ago, and it was about the woman with the issue of blood and the blind man whose name we know is Bartimaeus, the son of a very important man. But sickness doesn't have any respecter of persons, whether you're an important person or important parent. But both who had faith to receive their miracle, and they did receive their miracle. And I want to say to you tonight that God has a miracle with your name on it. He has a miracle if you need a miracle. And I know I need a miracle. I know I'm believing God for a miracle. He's still the healer. He's still my salvation. He's the deliverer. And he's listening. He's listening for our cries, even tonight. Whatever you're telling him in your heart, he's listening to it right now. And he's answering it right now, even as we're receiving that answer, an answer that we haven't seen. But Lord, we're not blind enough to not have vision. I can see it in my mind. I can see it ahead. I can see that day, Father God, when restoration comes in families. I can see that day, Father God, when those prodigals who have not served the Lord, when they come home. I can see that day, Father God, when they call Alan's name and he receives that award that he's longed for. And I can see a day when we all receive awards, Father God. I can see so many things, Father God, that are yet to come, Lord. I see all kinds of things happening, healings and deliverances, God. Father God, things we've prayed for many years, for 20, 30 years, Father God, I see them, that they will come to pass in the Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we stand to worship you and lift our hands up, Father God. We just thank you for things that yet we have not seen in the natural, but we see in the Spirit, Lord. Give us eyes to see, Father God, and give us ears to hear, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, Father God. Thank you for your amazing grace, Father. Father God, grace that was undeserved, Father God. Father God, mercy, Father God, that you did not give us what we did deserve, but grace that you gave us what we did not deserve. Many, many, many blessings, Father God. Houses, Father God. Money in the bank, Father God. Friends, Father. A warm place to stay, Father God. That we could live in a country, Father God. Father God, where we could worship. You've given us so much, Father God. Father God, and you respond to us when we ask you for things, Lord. Father God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would hear the cry of every heart here tonight, Father God. That as you're listening, Lord, you stop. I believe that you stop because you're hearing our hearts, Father God, what we're asking, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's just worship for a few minutes. Take the time.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries. of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.